Welcome to the Dog Liaison Podcast. I'm your host, Jenna. On this podcast, we focus on giving guardians of anxious dogs a home. If your dog has reactivity, aggression, separation anxiety, or generalized anxiety, then this podcast is what you have been looking for. We are going to go deep into understanding your dog's anxiety-related disorders. And we're also going deep into what it is like to be the guardian of an anxious dog, so that you have a sanctuary and a guide to help you to be able to sustain your dog's recovery. I'm a professional dog trainer. At this point, I work exclusively with dogs facing anxiety-related disorders. And I really understand on a deep level how to support you and your anxious dog. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. And welcome to a new episode. We're going to be talking about, should you wait to start training? One of the things that comes up a lot is like, Jenna, I have a new life event that's happening. And Jenna, I have a new, like, I just moved, or people just moved in or whatever. I've got a new life event and I want to know, should I actually start training? Or conversely, I've only had my dog for 4 months. And I know she's demonstrating anxiety now, but maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll all be okay if I just wait, play this out. Should I wait this out? My friends, let's talk about that. I think it's very natural for us to turn to the professionals and the trainers to be like, should I just wait to see what happens? Should I just like see if Rover will get better over time? But the truth of the matter is that your trainer can't really ever answer that. I mean, it would almost be unethical for a trainer to give you an answer. And that's especially true if we don't have a lot of information. Like if you know, you're just shooting me a DM and being like, my friend just came into my new house. Should I actually, you know, start training right now? Or should I wait till my friend and my dog are comfortable together? I don't have nearly enough information to be able to give you an answer with integrity, my friend. So I'm probably not going to. And any trainer who is giving you answers to that question with that limited amount of information, honestly, I would doubt the accuracy of whatever they reply, one way or the other. I would doubt whether or not they're accurate. So really, I want to walk you through some things for you to self-analyze, some processes for you to think about, to decide on your own whether or not starting training for your anxious dog is appropriate for now, or if this is something that you should hold off until a certain life event. So I think there's a twofold answer to this. One, we need to focus on intuition, and we also need to focus on data. I'm all for having a good intuition with your dog. I'm all for you just answering based off of how you feel to a certain extent. I think that that's a good starting point, but then we need to move into data. Then we need to move into what is observable fact, right? So the first thing I want you to ask yourself with intuition, the first thing I want you to ask yourself is, do I believe my dog has an anxiety disorder? Just simple as that. Do I believe that my dog is dealing with an anxiety disorder? Now, if your dog has actually been diagnosed by a veterinarian with anxiety disorder, then there's no really no thinking at all. You just go, yeah, my dog has anxiety disorder, full stop. Like, that's step one, okay? The second question you need to ask yourself is, do you believe anxiety disorders just go away? Do you believe that anxiety disorders just go away on their own? Is that true for dogs? Is that true for people? Is that true for any individual in a species? That's the first thing you have to assess. Now, if you believe that anxiety disorders, they'll just go away, then that's where your assessment stops, my friend. Like, you could just be like, yeah, cool. So I'll just wait it out. I won't worry about training. We'll just put this on the back burner. My dog will get over it. It's going to be great, right? Everything's going to be fine. We just have to wait it out. But if you're thinking to yourself, my dog has an anxiety disorder, and I know that anxiety disorders don't just go away. Okay, now you get to progress into question number three. And question number three is going to require a little bit more thinking power from you. Question number three is, how long have you been doing what you're currently doing? And can you afford to keep doing this? Because doing nothing means maintaining whatever you're doing currently. So when you think about whatever your dog is experiencing, however often they're experiencing their trauma, are they having a panic attack or having a reactive moment or having a stress-induced moment multiple times a day? How often are they going through that experience? Can you continue? Can you afford to continue putting them in those situations that frequently? But then you're also asking yourself, what am I currently going through? And is that something that I can also continue to go through? Now, if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I can maintain what I'm doing right now. If I can maintain, everything's going to be fine. Okay. That's the end of your assertion. That's where it starts. But if you think to yourself, no, dude, I'm sacrificing a lot for my dog right now. My dog is sacrificing a lot in his mental health. He's experiencing consistent trauma. He's consistently fearful. He's living in a household that is causing him to feel unsafe. Even though I know he's not, he doesn't believe that he is. So if you think about your dog and your dog's perspective, can you afford to continue putting your dog in that situation? The next thing that I want you asking is, what happens if you do nothing? What happens if you do play this out? If you think to yourself, okay, I know that I can continue kind of holding on and doing what I'm doing right now. Maybe my dog can continue doing what he's doing right now. The next thing I need you to ask yourself is, based off previous history, what is likely to occur again? Is my dog likely to increase his anxiety? Is he likely to increase his phobias? Is he likely to create new phobias? Or is he probably just going to plateau? Now, most of the people I talk to one-on-one tell me new phobias just show up. Like, I don't understand why, but today my dog is afraid of water. Now, obviously, the nature of the dogs that we're working with in the RRP are like very generalized anxiety dogs, and it would make sense that they would create a new phobia seemingly out of thin air. That makes sense for those kids. But if you know that your dog is prone to just like all of a sudden, seemingly out of nowhere, is afraid of something, likely that's going to continue happening if you do nothing. And if that's the case, then in theory, the anxiety is getting worse because there's more phobias, more opportunities for triggers, more opportunity for trigger stacking, and just overall more stress in the dog's life. And if there's more stress in the dog's life, there's probably more stress in your life because you're a good dog guardian. And you not only empathetically take that on, but logistically you take that on. This episode is brought to you by my signature coaching program, the Recovering Rover Program for Anxious Dogs. One dog, 1 million phobias. Reactivity, noise sensitivity, separation anxiety, generalized anxiety, and the list goes on and on. If your dog has multiple anxiety-related disorders, then you know the awful stress of feeling trapped in your own home. Having a dog with anxiety does not mean sacrificing your own mental health. The RRP is the most comprehensive program that coaches guardians on how to treat their dog's anxiety. This is a 6-month group coaching program dedicated to making you an expert in desensitizing your dog's triggers and making your dog feel more calm and comfortable in the world. For all the info on the Recovering Rover program and to see whether you and your dog are a good fit, go to getacalmdog.com/RRP to learn more. And now, back to the episode. So ask yourself, based off of previous history, based off of the data, based off of what I know about my dog, is my dog likely to continue getting worse? Or perhaps you're thinking, well, he's kind of plateaued. He's not really like getting worse, but he's not really getting better. He's just kind of like staying the same. Then I need you to do a check-in and ask yourself, is it fair for your dog to stay in the state that he's currently in? Is it fair for your dog to stay in the amount of stress and the frequency of stress that he's currently experiencing? That really comes down to a moral, ethical experience. right? And I think it's very arguable. But I want you to consider, what is the cost? And this kind of leads me into my next shenanigan. The last thing I want you to think about is you need to make a risk reward assessment. Let's play this out and say, maybe you can do nothing. Let's play this out. Let's see if our dog will just kind of get over his anxiety all on his own. Let's do nothing. What is the risk of that? What is the risk of doing nothing? Is the risk that you continue hiding, you know, behind cars and restructuring your life on when you're able to take your dog out? Is the risk that you can never actually go out with your friends and have a spontaneous Starbucks run with them because your dog can't be left alone? What's the risk of that? Alternatively, what's the risk of taking action and finding out later that it probably didn't need to happen right then? Let's say you take action, you join a training program, and later on, 3 months down the road, you go, okay, you know what? After collecting data, I probably could have postponed this a little bit longer and nothing would have happened and it would have been fine. What's the risk of that? You spent a little extra money a little sooner than you would have. I mean, what's the risk of taking action now versus the risk of not doing anything? I understand that investing in an anxious dog is an investment. I understand that investing in recovering your dog's mental health is not the cheapest thing in the world. And I understand that it's a little unfair that all of these other training programs to get the dog to sit is like $19.99. And you just go on the little pupper app and you teach the dog to sit. But the second you want to actually enrich the dog's mental health and treat them, it's several thousands of dollars. I get that. But also, your life right now is not sustainable. Your life right now is requiring you to continue hiding behind cars or not inviting people over to your house. I hear every single day in all of our applicants, I can't have friends over. I can't have people over to the house. Or just like waking up and thinking about when I'm going to walk my dog is a whole experience. I can't walk my dog at 6:30. I have to walk my dog at 7. I can't, you know, look at my dog towards the side of them. I can only look at them head on. So are you able to sustainably continue living your life with all of these creative things? Are you able to continue moving forward in the pathway that you're on right now? That's not something a professional can tell you. That's not something you can turn to a dog trainer to be like, can I just play this out? Can I just find out if my dog's anxiety goes away? That's something you need to assess for yourself. All right, my friends, we'll chat later. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dog Liaison Podcast. Support for this episode came from the Recovering Rover Program. Go to getacalmdog.com to learn how you can treat your dog's anxiety. And you can support this podcast by leaving a review and sharing. I appreciate your continued support, and I'll see you in the next episode.